Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
How is everybody today? Man, it's good to be in church today. My kids, they love to come to church. Tell them, tomorrow going to church. What kind of church is it? Is it Sunday school church? The big question is, Josiah going to be there? That's the biggest question we get. And I said, I don't know what day. Because during the week, they come with dad, and none of y'all are here. And they think it's cool to be here. They get to run and figure out all the toys and all that stuff. So when Josiah comes back, they got all the right toys in all the right places. You know what I mean? So anyway, I've been all this week been, you know, arranging the toys and getting everything just right. So when you came here, we could play together. Sound good? So we are in the book of Hebrews. We're talking about faith. Faith, we've said over and over and over again, is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's what the Bible says in 11:1. A lot of people describe that as believing without seeing. That's what they try to describe it as. But we believe in a lot of things we don't see, right? We have faith in gravity. We have faith in oxygen. We have faith in, you know, like carbon monoxide is out there and we don't see that, but we know that it can kill us. We have faith in the flu. We never see that until we're, you know, standing over a toilet and like, yep, that's the flu. So oftentimes we can be misguided by saying that faith is believing without seeing, when it's so much more than that. The Bible actually says that faith is the substance of the thing that we hope for. In other words, the hope, the dream, the final product is like the blueprint, and faith is the building blocks that makes it, okay? It's like the wood, the nails, everything that goes into it. And faith is actually, on our part, is taking risk, stepping out, and using what God has given us. The key to that is found right here in the Bible. This is where we, I don't know what that is. Okay. This is where we find the substance, the tools that we need for the thing that we've hoped for. Has anybody here ever had a vision, a dream for their life, something, a hope, a plan, and they felt like it was God-given? Anybody? Maybe it was to raise your kids, maybe go back to school, maybe just to grow up and to be successful, maybe to be in a marriage for one time all your life and to grow with somebody. Whatever that is, you have something that has risen inside of you. Maybe it started when you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. Maybe you got it when you were 50, when you were 30. Whatever that is, God is designing and giving you vision for your life. And he says, now I want you to get into the things that I've given you, the promises, the tools, everything. The plan is right here. And what we do is we find out what God says, and then we operate accordingly, which is always risk. Which is always risk. Anytime you get a good tip from somebody, it's always risk to try it. I was in California, and we were down in Laguna Beach, and I always try to go to a place where we can get shrimp, you know, the kind that like have not been out of the water that long, not like shipped, you know, all the way across the state in frozen water, but you know, like for real, just like they caught it, they pull it out, and they're like, they throw it in some hot water for a couple minutes, and they're like, here you go, Brandon. That's my favorite thing on the planet. And we were in Laguna Beach, and I was telling everybody, we're gonna go get some seafood tonight, and Sarah was like, yeah, we got some seafood, oh, that's great. So we, yeah, she's, I don't know what she is. She's a hype man. Everything you do, she's hype about. So we're going to go to this place called Killer Shrimp. Killer Shrimp. Sounds great, doesn't it? It's on Hermosa Beach, and it's really not that far, but it is about an hour and 40 minutes from us. So we started to drive up the coast, and we're in traffic, and we're all this stuff, and we finally get there, and we get out, and we pay for parking, and we go, and we get to Killer Shrimp, and we're standing there, and the group is standing there, and some of us go to the bathroom, and we come back, and we stand for about 5 minutes, and nobody helps us. Nobody sits us down. Nobody does anything. And like, this is kind of odd. And somebody comes out and goes, has anybody helped you guys? I said, no, we haven't. We got 10 people, and we need to sit down. And they say, well, I'm sorry. We just had last call for our kitchen 5 minutes ago. At which point, you know, I had a whole scene play out in my mind of me, you know, like Floyd Mayweather on this dude. And And then I realized that I probably shouldn't do that. I'm leading a missionary trip here. And we proceeded to go find some place that was open at 10 p.m. because everything is an hour drive in California. And the deal was, is like, I was so angry and so mad. And Sarah goes, you know, you can't be mad. You just came there on somebody's word that it was a good place. How many times have you started off from one destination, traveled a long time, got to someplace on somebody's word that it was going to be good? That it was going to be something that would benefit you, that would be worth the drive, worth the time, worth the journey. Some people work at a job for so long and then they get fired and they go, well, I thought it was going to be worth it. They stay in a relationship, they go for such a long time, and it ends, and it's like all of a sudden you're like strangers, and it's like, I thought it was going to be worth it. You work to build something so hard and so long, it all crumbles, and you thought it was going to be worth it, all based on somebody's tip, all based on somebody's information, all based on somebody's word. I'm here to let you know today that God's word is not like that. That when God says something to you, when he says in his word, he gives you a vision and he gives you a tip and he gives you guidance and direction, that when you work it, when you drive and you go the extra distance, when you go as far as it takes and you get there, it will not be disappointing. That God will always fulfill, and that, my friends, is what is faith. It's called risk. But when we put our trust and our movement in the words of God, that risk always, always pays off. And the greatest dividends and the greatest amounts. So, that's my faith sermon, y'all. You know, excited about that? I'm excited to be here, man. I'm just juiced. It got dark all of a sudden. I think there's gonna be a storm outside. So faith, this is not my sermon. That's just a little precursor. We're talking about faith today. So the faith chapter is this whole chapter about people who put it all on the line. They put it all on the line and trusted what God said. And they get their name put in this special chapter, and it's like the Hall of Fame. We have Abraham and Moses, and we have Noah, we have Sarah, we have people like Isaac, and we have Jacob, and we have Joseph, and we have Joshua, all J names. So if you're a J person, you're super holy. But long about the end of this, we get a random one thrown in, and then he finishes off the chapter. So I'm going to attempt, this is supposed to be my dad's sermon today, talking about Rahab. So I messaged him and asked him what he wanted to say. And he said, just tell him whatever you think you ought to hear. But he had this one particular point, and I'll get to it. But what I want to say is this, before we just wrap up this chapter, is that I pray that when we leave this chapter, you don't forget about faith. That this is a catalyst. It's a thing that sparks you into saying, if God can do it for somebody else, I know that he can do it for me. If one person can apply the truth of God's word and follow him with their heart and life, and it changes them forever and marks them in all of history, it changes their legacy, it leaves an inheritance for their children's children. I mean, on and on. If God can do that with these people, what can he do with my life if I would just trust him in faith? Are you ready to talk about faith today? All right, here we go. Let's talk Hebrews 11. I'm gonna read it off here. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the Holy Spirit alive and well in us. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to do a work in our heart to flood our lives in ways that we can't imagine. Purify us to know you in a greater way and to hear your voice more clearly and transform us into the people that you always dreamed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So Rahab. Now, if you've grown up in Sunday school, you maybe heard the story of Rahab. It's kind of an intermediate level. You know, like some of you in here like have never been to Sunday school. You just started coming to church later. So there's a lot of stories you don't know. Anybody in the kind of boat sometimes? Anybody in here like they've been to church like 200 trillion times and they've heard every story possible. And so when you finally hear one that you've never heard, you're like, oh, I didn't know that, right? But you've heard every story. Anybody like that? Okay. So I'm a person that's heard a trillion stories, but I kind of identify with the people who have heard nothing. I kind of like that whole crew. So if you haven't heard these stories, that's okay. So Rahab is like, it's not like Noah and Moses and Joseph. Rahab's kind of like tucked in there a little bit. But she's tied to this story of Jericho. Jericho. She's actually a person who lives in the city of Jericho. And most of us know that Jericho is the city that the walls came tumbling down and the Israelites went in and just ransacked the whole entire place. Everybody died and they took nothing. They left it all there and the walls have never been rebuilt. But in that city is this woman named Rahab. Now, as a Sunday school goer, you go there and your teacher is like, she's talking and she's like, Rahab was a prostitute. Now, when you're 6 years old, you don't understand what that means. Okay. Rahab the prostitute. Okay. And then as you grow up and you find out what a prostitute is, I actually didn't know what a prostitute was until I heard Eddie Murphy talking about somebody being a hoe. And I didn't know what that was until my older brother says, you can't say hoe at church, Brandon. And I said, why not? I said, what is a hoe? And he says, well, it's short for hooker. I said, what's a hooker? He said, well, it's somebody that has sex for money. And I was like, wait, what? Sex for money. You know what I mean? Like somebody comes in and pays them money and they, and then leave and never have to see the person again. Never have to deal with the person again. It's simply a business transaction by giving yourself. They get money and they roll out. Now we live in America. America's an amazing place. We have amazing love stories that many people are showing their children. Great love story movies like Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Cinderella. We just go right through them, right? And there's this very special one called Pretty Woman. Anybody seen that one? Now, I saw this when I was a kid, and it was really phenomenal love story. And then I grew up and I was like, this is the raunchiest movie I've ever seen in my whole entire life. Why did anybody take this home to their family and like, hey, let's watch Pretty Woman. And people come in church just talking about, I love Pretty Woman. Julia Roberts is so great. Isn't it wonderful? That girl's a prostitute, a hoe, a hooker, sex for money. Okay. That's what we're talking about. Rahab, in the faith chapter, you know what she is? A hoe. Are you seeing what I'm talking about here? They glamorize a little bit. Oh, the harlot Rahab. Bless her holy name. The hoe, Rahab. Everybody on the same page? Okay, if you have small children in here, take them home and describe what's going on. This is the most holy time to tell them about the birds and the bees. Well, Rahab, you know what? So here's Rahab. She's a prostitute. She lives in this city called Jericho. Joshua sends in two people, two spies, to go spy out Jericho and to see what's up. Amongst this, they come across this woman, Rahab, and she invites them in. And what she tells them, and this is Joshua chapter 2. I encourage you to read most of Joshua, but start with chapter 2, and it tells this whole story, and then it goes into Jericho in about 4. But you get the background, and what happens is the spies come in, and Rahab brings them in. First of all, spiritual holy spies should not be seen in prostitutes' houses. Let's get that under wraps, okay. All right. So they get hidden in Rahab's house, and here's what Rahab begins to tell them. It's like, we've heard of the Israelites. We've heard of the Israelites. And she starts to go on. It's like, everybody in this city is scared of you guys. We heard about the Red Sea. We heard about what God did for you. We heard about how you left Egypt. We heard about how great and mighty and powerful you are because your God is with you. And she just goes on and on and on. It's like nobody even wants to address you. Nobody wants to confront the situation. Nobody wants to come out and fight you because we know that we are doomed. And so she says, she comes up with a plan. She's like, hey, I'll hide you if you will save my family from the destruction that's about to come on Jericho. That's what she says. And the people at Jericho come in, like, we saw two guys come in here. Where are they? We need to find them. And she hides these two spies up on the roof, and people come in, ransack her room and mess up everything, and they can't find anybody. And she says, the guys actually just left. If you run really quickly, you can find them. Sounds like the stupidest thing I've ever heard, but they're like, okay. And they run after these spies. So Rahab says, okay, I hid you. I had my part of the deal. It's, like when you're kids and you're like, same time, same time. No trading different, trying to get it all. It's like, I hid you. Now you do your part. And so I want you to go to the caves up here. And I want you to wait 3 days. And by then, everybody that's looking for you will come back and they'll think that they lost you. And by then you can go back and be safe. So they go up to this cave, they hang out, and they hang out for 3 days, do exactly what she says. She goes out, or they go out, and they're safe. They tell Joshua, like, look, we got this place. They're scared of us. They think that God is with us. And actually it says that they barred up their whole entire city because they were scared of the Israelites. The Israelites. And they go on to march around Jericho for 7 days, 13 times altogether, and the walls fall. But in this story, the spies actually tell her, here's what's going to happen. God will save your house only. Now, in the Jericho story, we didn't get this. We didn't totally see this because it's hard to see unless you know what happened. And it just kind of goes on at the very end and tags it on there. But what happens is they say, this is how we'll know that you are with us and that God will save you, is if you take a little scarlet red cord and hang it out of your window. And this Bible says that her room was right on the wall, and I don't know how that still baffles me how it happened that all the walls fell and her house was saved. Supernaturally, everything fell and she was saved because of one scarlet robe. It said anybody that's not in your house will die. If they go out, to get a Coke while it's happening, too bad. If they don't want to come into your house, too bad. And so she's there. This is Rahab the hoe. And what she does is she puts the scarlet thread out, and Jericho gets marched around 13 times and all the walls fall. And actually in chapter 4, it says that they said, do not touch Rahab's family, her house, anything in her camp. And the Bible says that they brought Rahab out. Everybody else died. Everything was done. Everything was gone up in smoke, but Rahab. And a verse says that Rahab still lives with the Israelites to this day. Now, there's something about labels in our world. There's something about a name, right? And most of us at some point in our life take a name that somebody has given us. Maybe it's something we did, something we used to do. Maybe it's the way we are, whatever. And we wear it like a badge. It's something that we are a part of. It's something that becomes integrated into our being. And everywhere we go, they see the badge. They see the name of what we wear. And sometimes we get, moved, transplanted from one place to the next place, or we try to start over and get rid of that name. But something always resurfaces, because sometimes the name is an attitude. Sometimes the name is an addiction. Sometimes the name is the way that we are conditioned to do life. And we can't get past it. It's something that we wear constantly. And Rahab wore the name prostitute all her life. I wonder if maybe that one day she tried to, send her kids to daycare and go out and get a regular job. I wonder if one day she tried to put on regular clothes and just go be normal and do this thing. I wonder if she couldn't pay the bills. I wonder if maybe she had a man and her man died and she was left to take care of everything. I don't know her story, but I do know this, that we are very blatantly told about who she was. And in the Sunday school era, the Sunday school story, the Sunday school, time of life, it's like when you hear the word prostitute, it wasn't a good thing. It's like in the Bible, there's prostitutes, and we're studying about Rahab, and she's a hero, but she's a prostitute. She did great things and God used her, but she has a badge. And it's not a very good one. It's not something anybody wants to be called. Just walk out today and call somebody a hoe. See what happens. Not a popular name. But Rahab gets put in an entire chapter, no less with mostly men, mostly patriarchs, people that led their families, people that put it all on the line. And here we have Rahab, who is put in the faith chapter just for hiding spies. But she's a hoe. She's somebody that exchanges her body, what God has given her, wastes it away, gives it away for a transaction, for money. I wonder what kind of things in your life that you could do if you would move past a badge. I wonder what kind of books would be written about you. What kind of God things you could go from point A to point B to infinity if you would stop wearing the badge everybody gave you and believe the things that God has told you. See, most of the things that God wants to do in your life, you talk yourself out of because of who you are. Am I right? I can't do that. Oh, that's not for me. I can't pull that off. No, there's no way. I remember one time I used to do this thing called rapping. I was a gangster. Gangster for Jesus. I rap. And back in my day, rappers danced. Okay, then somewhere along the way, they stopped dancing and started shooting. But true story, I mean, it's true. All you want, but Tupac's dead. I'm sorry. I would dance and I would rap. And I remember one day on my landline, somebody called and they said, "Is Brandon there?" And I said, "Yeah, this is Brandon." And I was young. I was probably like 15 years old. And they said, "Hi, this is Pastor so-and-so from this church." It was a church about, 45 minutes over. It's like, "We're having a banquet. We're having a banquet, and it's a father-son banquet. We want you to come and sing and preach." And you know what I said? Well, bless God. I'd been praying my whole entire life, and my ministry would flourish at the young age of 15, and I would have the opportunity to minister the gospel all over the world. I said, "No, this is Brandon. I think you're calling for Rod." That's what I said. "My brother Rod is the one that preaches. He's the one that sings. Like, I don't do that." He said, "No, this is Brandon, the one that did the rap thing, right?" "Yeah, that's me." "No, you're the one we're looking for. We would like you to come and rap and preach at our father-son banquet." 15 years old. I had a badge that I wore. It was pastor's kid. Generally, it looked like not enough. It looked like judged. Everything I did wasn't as good as anybody else. My brothers were phenomenal at everything. I was not so good at many things. I could skateboard. And that's about it. My brothers had trophies. I never had a trophy my whole entire life. I wore ripped up jeans, and everybody has something to say about that. So you know what I did? I ripped up every pair of jeans I had. People told me, "You're not supposed to have long hair." So you know what I did? I grew my hair as long as I could. "I was supposed to shave your head," so I shaved my head all the way up on the inside, like Sammy's. Long hair on the outside. So it says, my ass and I say, I could say, "Well, yeah." It was a way for me to say, "You want to put a label on me, I'll wear it." Many times God sees in you nobody else sees. He sees the designs and intentions that he formed in you. And he keeps calling them out. But you're so busy wearing a label that somebody else put on you. Not trusting fully in who God designed you to be. If we believe that God has a design for us, that in your mother's womb, he knew you and formed you and had a perfect plan for your life. That Ephesians says that he planned the good works that you were supposed to do far in advance. Guess who else that's true for? Rahab. I believe more than anything that Rahab seized her moment, not because she was looking for redemption, but she had heard of the greatness of God. And there's something in all of us that we pray at night, God, if you could do anything. God, I'm here and I need this. God, I'm looking at impossible circumstances and I've heard that you're a God that heals. I've heard that you're a God that delivers, but I keep dealing with anxiety. I keep living in depression. I have no idea how I'm supposed to get past this. I have no idea how I ever get over this addiction, but I've heard of who you are. But Rahab heard of God's goodness and put everything on the line to have God move in her life. We want to dabble in the pool of God's holiness and his goodness. God, if you could do anything, when he just wants you to jump. I don't know if I'm good enough. I'm a hoe. Well, put it all on the line. I don't know. I'm addicted. I'm sick. My mind is crazy. I'm OCD. I can't pay attention that long. Well, bless God. I'm lazy. You get things done. Jump in with everything you got. Go with everything you got. God has been telling his story for thousands of years about his healing, about his greatness, about his victory. And all he's looking for is people to say, yeah, I'll do it. But we can't get past the badge. We can't get past Rahab the hoe. I know what you did, Rahab. I've seen you. I've seen those spies come in. I know the kind of person you are. You know, you have no self-control, no dignity. Rahab. But Rahab was moving toward God whispers that she heard in the night, in the day while she was driving. I love you. I got a plan for you. I can do something with your life. I got big plans for you. Wait till you see your name in the faith chapter, Rahab. Rahab. The spies told her, said, why don't you just take a scarlet thread and drop it out the window? And then we'll know it's you. Do you think really they needed a scarlet thread? Why a thread? A rope, a cord. What's the purpose of that, really? I mean, walls are falling down. I mean, nothing we can do anyway. God's either going to keep it up or keep it down. But God has an intention for everything, doesn't he? He has a plan for everything. He's been types and shadows and showing you pictures and giving you foreshadowing all throughout the Bible. And this is no different. What happens is, he says, put a scarlet thread, just a piece of red that runs from you. It marks your house. Theologians will tell you that this scarlet thread is representative of the blood of Jesus Christ. That when everything else crumbles, the blood of Jesus Christ saves, the blood of Jesus Christ delivers, the blood of Jesus Christ rescues you from all unrighteousness. Jericho was a wicked place and it was doomed to God's wrath. But that one scarlet thread running through it saved it for a lifetime. Saved it to the place where Rahab lived with the Israelites from that day forward. People that were not her people, people that she was not like. She had a badge of prostitutes and she is part of God's holy nation. What? You see, the blood of Jesus in your life, when you begin to just stick it out the window. I know I've been a prostitute. I know I'm not good enough. I know I haven't done it, but the blood of Jesus makes me good. I know that the righteousness of God flows in my family, in my house. I know that everything I do will prosper because God is in it. I let that blood show everywhere I go. They say, Brandon, you're not good enough. I know I'm not good enough, but I got the blood of Jesus. Rahab showed proudly her scarlet thread. Paul says, I'll boast all the more in my weaknesses because it shows God's greatness and grace by the power of his blood. When was the last time you just took the badge and said, this is who I am? This is who I am, but it's not what I will be. This is what they call me, but it's not my purpose. This is what they think about me, but it's not my destiny. This is what they say, but it's not what I'm told. Jesus loves me. This I know. This scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Hit me out, Ryan. I asked my dad what he wanted to say. He didn't tell me. But a few weeks ago, when I told him, I said, hey, man, you can preach on Rahab. So good luck. Can you imagine Pastor calling Rahab a hoe in church? And he came and saw me probably the next day. He said, man, I'm gonna think about Rahab. He said, check this out. This is the kind of pastor we have. He says, everybody wants to judge other people. He calls it the pointing of the finger. And he usually puts his finger like this. Pointing of the finger. See, ES First is full of people who put away the pointing of the finger. God can use anybody. You can use Rahab, the prostitute. And ES First is full of people that God wants to use, that God wants to take to higher levels, that God wants to put in the Faith Hall of Fame. But what they got to do is they got to step out in faith each day. Each little thing. Sometimes it's just one little movement, one little step, one little bit. But what can God do with your life? I'm glad we don't live in a place. Come to a house, greet with people that judge you every time you walk in the room. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad that when I bring my friends, they're not judged here, but they experience the power and the love and the blood of Jesus over their life like never before. Truth, hope, deliverance is offered here. The love of Jesus Christ runs strong here. And we can put away the pointing of the finger, and most people never get anything done because they're too worried about a name tag they want to put on somebody else. Don't believe me? Just look up any preacher's name on YouTube. These people that wasted their lives making videos about other pastors to discredit them, when all they want to do is preach the name of Jesus to people who don't know him. When's the last time you pointed the finger? Man, sorry, I've done that. It's great to say ES First is a place that doesn't, but have I? And when's the last time that I value somebody who didn't know Jesus over the label that I wanted to put on somebody else? See, God's people care about the broken people, the lost people. People are out there, and every dream, every desire that you have is attached to that. Every value and every purpose, every destiny is attached somehow to you reaching people for the glory of Jesus Christ. Every business plan, every success story, every child you'll raise is attached to Jesus Christ and his purpose for the world around you, for the Rahabs, for Rahab's family, the people who are stuck in situations, in walled cities they'll never get out of without the blood of Jesus. This is the, my favorite parts is this. Rahab the hoe Like you think it's Old Testament. There she was, Israelites. You know, we got the prostitute Rahab. And then we get to Hebrews and like, oh yeah, remember that Rahab chick? Oh yeah, she did some cool stuff. But this is how important God takes people who believe him despite what they've been labeled as. Check it out. This is the book of Matthew. This is the genealogy of Jesus. And was Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Sarah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was the hoe. This list goes on and on. And then it winds up and it says, the father Joseph, whose wife was the mother of Jesus. That Jesus' great-great-great-grandmother was Rahab the hoe. Holy Jesus? Yeah, holy Jesus. Sinless Jesus? Yeah. Rahab the hoe. Rahab transformed her genealogy. She transformed her family for generations by being obedient to God in a moment and putting it all on the line. I wonder what God is saying to you while you keep wearing the label about who it is you think you are, about how you're not good enough, or how you're not talented enough, or maybe you got the wrong brother. I think you called the wrong person. No, called the right person. I'm just looking for somebody who would say yes with everything they have and rewrite their destiny. Rewrite their destiny. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? First of all, you need to know that the blood of Jesus is really what you need in your life. What that means is that sacrifice has to be paid for sin. And Jesus paid the sacrifice for you so it didn't have to be yours. It's a beautiful thing. God would send his son to give his life so that you could live in full power and full authority of what he wants you to do. That's how it's possible. And when you need to know that when you say yes to Jesus' sacrifice, God saves you from the destruction that's all around you. He saves you from the destruction that's all around you. If you're here today and you've never had the opportunity to say, yeah, God, I need you to save me. I need that blood of Jesus protecting my family, my house, my home. Save me from this world that's dying, being crushed today and every day. Today, that's you. Would you just raise your hand? I just want to pray with you real quick. Thank you so much. Thank you. Everybody in this room, just pray after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for sacrificing for me. I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I want to follow after you. In Jesus' name. Now where you are, just keep your eyes closed. Some of you have been wearing a label for far too long. Some is very distinct words and you know what they are. Some are just feelings like not enough. Feelings like crushed, disturbed, broken, wounded, abandoned, deserted. Some are things that people look at you right in the eye and tell you what you are, what you did, how you were raised, where you come from, the kind of person you are. I'm here to let you know that Jesus calls you none of those things. I'm here to let you know that by the blood of Jesus, God restores and renews, and he only sees what he designed. That when everybody else covers you in dirt, God sees you in gold. Everybody else sees coal, and God sees diamonds that are placed deep in your soul. You know the things that you love, things that make your heart leap, the purposes and designs, the whispers God is giving you in the middle of the night. And you say, I can't do that. And he says, yes, you can. I'm rewriting your history. Today, if you're here and you say, I feel every bit of that, Brandon. Today, I say yes to God's plan for my life. I'm tired of holding back by stupid people. Call me all these things when God calls you his. Will you raise your hands so I can pray for you today? That's you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. My God. Let's just all stand right where we are. Say yes to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is the love of God poured out on his people. I thank you that you're a God that calls things that are not as if they already are. That you see your bride pure and spotless, ready to be used by you. That you use prostitutes, that you use murderers, liars, thieves, drunkards, anybody who will say yes to you and rewrite their destiny. Father, rewrite destinies today. Help us to fulfill your purpose, to know you in greater ways, to trust you with everything, to live full of faith, risking for the glory of your word, of your power, in your name. We know you're speaking, God. We know you're talking. Forgive us for saying no because we looked at a badge instead of the blood of Jesus running through and over our lives. You are always enough. In Jesus' name.